Welcome to Word of Promise with Pastor Othniel Cash of Promised Land Ministries in Sacramento. In the books of Joel and Romans, God promises that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today on Word of Promise, you'll hear a message with more of God's promises so that you may trust and follow Jesus Christ in a deeper way. So, experience hope, the renewal of your mind, and become better equipped for God's purpose in your life. Now, here's Pastor Othniel Cash with Word of Promise.
God's grace. His grace reaches down right where we are. And He commands His love towards us in our sins. This is the grace of God. When Jesus died, He carried upon Himself the guilt and the punishment for all of our sins and paid the eternal consequences hanging on a cross in a few hours. We paid the price. I'm talking about the grace of God. Because Jesus paid for our sins, we no longer have to suffer for them. We do, however, have a responsibility in the face of Jesus' sacrifice while we live our lives. In other words, because of the sacrifice that He has made, we must believe in Jesus Christ in order to receive God's forgiveness. In order to have His grace, it requires just one thing. We must believe.
His grace is sufficient. For many of you, we've been embarking on this journey in regards to God's grace. And today, we will do the same.
This is part two of the message of sound doctrine, the grace of God.
There is something about the grace of God that, quite frankly, we don't have the intellect to comprehend the grace of God. I believe that's part of the love of God towards mankind, that He has given to us freely this grace. And He's given to us this grace so that it may be to our benefit. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Titus,
chapter 2 and verse 11.
This is what the text says. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from the wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His own, eager to do what is good. The grace of God. This message of sound doctrine. There are some things that we learned, and it is only for a season. And there are some things that we learn or is bestowed upon us, and it is for eternity. God's grace is one of those things that is bestowed upon us, that is offered unto us, and it comes with absolute purpose. Today, as I talk to you about God's grace being revealed to release us from the power of sin. We were redeemed from the penalty of sin by Christ's death on the cross. But that doesn't mean that because we were redeemed from the penalty of sin, sin will not occur. That doesn't mean that Satan will not tempt us. It doesn't mean that we'll never deal with sin again. You see, the old man is passing away because the new man has come. But in the process, the old man has passed away or is passing away, and the new man has come. In the middle of that, there is a struggle. This is the reason why we need to understand the importance of God's grace and the purpose of God's grace and what it does for us, because the text tells us that God's grace being revealed to us, it enables us to be removed from the penalty of sin. The grace of God has appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. There is an expectation that comes from God towards all of us. It is there because of His grace. What it teaches us is that God expects us to have a mindset and an attitude towards Him, towards our brother, towards our sister, towards our husbands, towards our wives, towards our children. And this expectation is due right now in the waiting process. We are not saved for good works. And we don't work to be saved. By the same token, we are not saved, or God's grace is not revealed to us so that we may become complacent with His grace. Apostle Paul's writing says, is God's grace a permit? Is it a license that we may continuously sin as a result that His grace has been revealed unto us? And the fact that we have this opportunity to escape the penalty of sin, he gives this resounding no. Not only that, he says, are you kidding me? You would think that this grace is bestowed upon you so that you may be able to continuously live a life that is not righteous and godly? God forbid. The grace of God, it tutors us. It teaches us how to live victoriously over sin. We recognize that as much as this grace is available to us, sin is still present. So how are we going to live a victorious life in the midst of the fact that sin is still present? Grace teaches us to renounce sin. In short, we are taught to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The word deny sometimes is translated into, in the English, called disown. Let me explain. God's grace teaches us to disown various parts and or members and or attitudes or traits that is in us prior to us accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It teaches us to disown. Now, there's something about disowning anything or anybody. You know, I was watching TV last night. This husband and wife basically moved out of their house. They lived inside this Winnebago. They have redesigned the inside of this so that they can accommodate 4 monkeys. They love these monkeys enough that they have rearranged their whole life to accommodate these monkeys. They have made a commitment in their hearts and in their minds and in their soul to care and to love and to protect these monkeys. The wife says during the interview that her and her husband, that they are actually strangers. That's not the word I really want. I can't think of the word right now. In America, in as much as they are Americans, almost as if they have lost their right as an American as a result of the fact that their love towards these animals has brought about such a transformation within them, and the authorities does not know how to deal with this, and therefore they don't have the right to have these animals in their personal home. So rather than give the animals over to the authorities, they give up the home and went on the road. God's grace causes us to disown things that are not worthy, things that will cause us to sin against God. It causes us to think soberly. It causes our mind to become transformed. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says that we are what? We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. The grace of God caused this transformation to come about. It teaches us to renounce sin. And we no longer will offer any of our members as members of unrighteousness. So it causes us to deny access to the heart. If we're going to work on anything at all within us, we have to first give the heart or that substance access to our heart. The Bible says that it is out of the heart that the man or woman speaks. Therefore, we must be able to deny the access. Any of you went to the ATM machine and put in that PIN number and then it says, denied. What I'm saying is, likewise, the cares of this life is coming up against you and it's coming up against me. And so we have to be able to disown and not give access so that when they put in that PIN, the message come across, access denied. In other words, you did not allow them to enter into your heart. The PIN starts up here, our mind. This is where the thoughts begin to move about as a result of the eye gates and the ear gates, as a result of the subconscious mind. Even when the eyes are closed and the ears are closed, the mind's still going. And so things are being turned over. And now we have to be able to be sober-minded in our thinking and in doing so that we will deny access to things that will cause us to find our way back into sin. It is the grace of God that makes the transition possible. That is the transition that you would be able to give a PIN number that will not allow access into your heart, thus allowing you to sin. Grace teaches us to rule self. Some have asked how the grace of God works in our lives. How does the holiness of God and the price that was paid on Calvary for your eternal salvation, for my eternal salvation, how does the grace of God works in our lives? The grace teaches us to rule self. When you think of the terminology rule, my mind first goes into a measuring mindset. I see little lines and I see various sizes on them. But the rule that the grace teaches us to rule, it is not a measurement of sin. Sin is not measured in a measuring tape. All sin is ungodly. Therefore, God's grace teaches us to rule self in regards to all sin. And in doing so, to live soberly, righteously, and godly, to be sober-minded, it speaks of thinking clearly and carefully, to have the disciplined mind, to see things the way they really are. That's a problem within itself, because the truth is we don't always see things the way they really are. And so when we don't see things the way they really are, guess what? We make a decision based on an illusion, or we make a decision that is not complete as a result of the fact that we don't see things the way they really are. But God's grace will enable us to see things the way they really are. When you have God's grace, when you accept this grace of God, it also means that the Holy Spirit is working in you and through you for His glory. Saints of God, God's grace, it teaches us to be self-controlled. This is what the text says, Titus chapter 2, verses 12. It teaches us to say no. Say no to what? To ungodliness. and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives when in this present age. You see, we all are looking forward. You know, I like the skit that went on. It's looking forward in regards to what the expectation is. And we as Christians, we are, our expectation is that Jesus is coming back for us. And he promised he will, and he will. But while we wait, part of his instruction is to occupy until he comes. And inside the skit, we see that there was a mother and a daughter. They are waiting too. But the problem while they were waiting is they weren't occupied in the right things. And now mind, they were going to go to heaven. But because they have been saved with purpose, and because God's grace has been extended unto them, as a result, there is a responsibility. And the responsibility is not unto yourself. The responsibility is unto the Lord. And that is fulfilled in the fact that you are sharing your faith. And here comes another party who understands and is walking in the power and the might and the grace of God. And she began to say, well, have you told anyone about this grace that you have received, as this salvation you have? We too must do the same thing. The grace of God, it teaches us, it tutors us in how to live victoriously over sin. And that's what it's all about. God's grace, it teaches us to rule self. If we are out of control, there's a problem. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 13 and chapter 5 in verse 8, it tells us a couple of things. Peter is warning us here. He says to be sober in light of the presence of Satan. The thing about it is we think that we can say, well, the devil made us do it. That's not going to fly. Not in front of a holy God. Peter's warning us to be sober in the light of the presence of Satan right now. It is a serious warning. Satan wants to tear down you. He wants to tear down me. He wants to tear down your life. He wants to tear down the church. He wants to tear down the lives of your children. He wants to tear down your marriage. But God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And the only way to keep from this type of situation happening within your household is to be wrapped up, is to be caught up, is to be sold out in this grace. That's why he said his grace is sufficient. Sufficient to do what? Sufficient to cause you to live a life with self-control. Sufficient to cause you to denounce ungodliness. Sufficient to cause you to denounce lust. Sufficient to cause you to denounce racketeering. Sufficient to cause you to denounce all those things that the world will bring before you that are ungodly and not pleasing in the sight of God. God's grace, it is sufficient. His grace is more than enough. His grace teaches us to respect others. In Peter, he says that God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Paul also says that the grace that teaches us to live righteously, this has to do with the way we treat one another. Listen, God is not the author of confusion. He is a God who is a God of order. And in doing so, we need to recognize that God expects us to live a life that is in order. In order of what? In order of His grace. And when you understand the grace that's been extended to you, you realize that the precept, the concept, and everything you find within this grace. His grace teaches us to respect others. What are your relationship with your neighbor? What are your relationship within your own household? His grace teaches us to respect others. No one should be able to enter into this ministry, coming through these doors, without being welcomed by someone
not necessarily the pastor. Paul says that the grace of God teaches us to live righteously. This has to do with how we treat other people. If we don't act righteously towards the church, we are not going to act righteously towards Christ. And we will not act righteously towards our wife. We will not act righteously towards our husband. And we will not act righteously towards our children. God's grace, it empowers us. It gives us an opportunity unlike any other. That's the reason why Paul is very concerned that we realize that the love of God that comes as a result of His grace bestowed upon us, that we do not abuse God's grace. It is there for the upbuilding of others. It is there for our own personal benefit. But God is always about the neighbor. In other words, God is always about the person who is outside of you. That's the reason why Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. Otherwise, He could remain comfortable in the fact that He is the God-man, not walking in purpose, not demonstrating the grace of God. But instead, the Bible says that He Himself, knowing what will happen on Friday, look all the way to Sunday, seeing what will happen on Sunday. And He says, because of the joy that was set before Him, in spite of all the shame, in spite of the fact that the cross was right there in the path to get to the joy, He still went to the cross. There are stumbling blocks right before us. We can either get hung up at the stumbling block that is before us, and we cannot see Sunday. We cannot see the resurrection. We cannot see the power that God is working in us and through us. So we halt. We stop at the stumbling block when it's really just a distraction. It's part of the process to go to the other side. God's grace is sufficient to take you to the other side. His grace is more than enough in the midst of every storm. His grace is sufficient. God's grace, it teaches us to truly reverence who God is. After all, we can't send an email to Washington and then they send us a package full with grace. So God's grace, it teaches us to reverence who God is. When we reverence who God is, it means nothing more than living godly lives to manifest godlike qualities and characteristics. We are intelligent beings because we are made in the image of God. Therefore, because of the fact that we are intelligent beings, the reality is that we must be able to know that God's grace teaches us to reverence who He is. And God is God of all. The psalmists declare that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all them that dwell therein. We must reverence who God is. Always. Not sometime. God never stops being God. Even when we are going through, God is still on the throne. He is still God. It's only God's grace that is going to enable us to denounce ungodliness. It's only God's grace that's going to enable us to set aside worldly lusts. It's only God's grace that's going to enable us to live godly in this present age, right now.
Thank you for listening to Word of Promise with Pastor Othniel Cash of Promised Land Ministries in Sacramento. If you enjoyed today's message, would like to visit, or you're looking for a church home, join Pastor Othniel Cash for worship Sunday mornings at 11. You'll be warmly welcomed. sing to contemporary Christian music, and hear a message of hope. Promised Land Ministries is a diverse, multicultural, Bible-based ministry. It's a place in which to grow and learn. There's a Wednesday night Bible study, men's and women's ministries, and thriving youth and children's ministries. Looking for something other than the ordinary church setting? Experience a service like no other. Get biblical responses to your real-life situations in an open atmosphere at Saturday Night Life, Real Life for Real People, held the second and fourth Saturday of the month. Or visit Promised Land Ministries for Movie Night, the third Friday of each month. Promised Land Ministries is located at 7230 Southland Park Drive in Sacramento. For more information, visit PromisedLandMinistriesOnline.org or call 916-670-4520. That's 670-4520. And tune in again next week at the same time for Word of Promise with Pastor Othniel Cash.